What do you say, everybody? It is basketball time, and this is The Open Floor with Mick Gillespie. It's a brand-new podcast from Bama Insider with Jordan Harper and Matthew Gibson. This is our inaugural episode. We're going to talk about Bama's first game against Jacksonville State. We'll take a look at that nationally ranked recruiting class with five-star talent. Yeah, Alabama lost their best player to the NBA draft, but when you're a good program, that happens. The Crimson Tide could possibly play Stanford and North Carolina after their first game at home. All that and more. Please subscribe to the Bama Insider podcast, whether it's on Apple or Spotify, wherever you've downloaded. We appreciate you being here. It's basketball time, everybody, and here's the show. Enjoy it. It's basketball season, and it's great to have everyone with us for our inaugural The Open Floor podcast with Jordan Harper and Matthew Gibson. I'm Mick Gillespie. We're all from Bama Insider. Hey, look, man, this is the Alabama rival site, so we're going to preview the first game of the season for Nate Oates and this Alabama team that is kind of getting a lot of looks as possibly one of the big surprises in college basketball. There's definitely a different roster than what we had at the end of last season, a team that was a little bit disappointing. But this year, this team should be a little bit bigger. They've got some star power, even though they lost some guys. The first game's on Thursday. And I've been here before. Look, I've been following Alabama basketball for a long time, guys. But I want to start with you, Jordan. And then, Matthew, I'm going to ask you the same question. Tell me why the 2021 edition of the Crimson Tide is going to be different than what we've seen in the last 10 years.
Well, something that Alabama fans will always remember is Alabama basketball really hasn't been that exciting. For the past decade, it's been kind of a grinded out type of game with Anthony Grant, Avery Johnson, and even with Mark Gottfried for a lot of his tenure. So going a little bit further back. So last year was kind of a breath of fresh air for Alabama fans, watching a lot of threes being thrown up. Yes, the defense was subpar, but it's just more exciting brand of basketball that fans can really get behind and support. So this year's team, Nate Oates mentioned it in his presser today, that this may be one of the more talented and versatile defensive teams that Alabama's ever had, just because it's full of 6 foot six or taller 3-and-D wings, throw in a couple centers. I mean, outside of Alex Chiku, that'll have to miss the rest of the season. They can really guard any position 2 through 5, even as a forward. So, you know, pick and roll offenses aren't going to be an issue. Just switch everything, and you know they're going to chunk up a bunch of threes, especially with the addition of Joshua Primo, one of the premier shooters of the 2020 recruiting class. Javon Quinterly's finally eligible, who shot, I mean, nearly 50% from three in high school that we haven't seen much of. So this 2020-2021 basketball team is going to be exciting on both ends. They're going to play hard, and you know Nate Oates is going to get everything out of this team. So it's going to be a fun up-and-down type of basketball team that, you know, getting Herbert Jones back healthy, John Petty's back for his senior year, going to have some veteran leadership. So it's going to be a team that's really going to be able to really do it all. And outside of any injuries, it's a team I could see that could go into the second weekend or even further in the NCAA tournament.
Matthew, make a case for this Alabama team. And John Petty, I feel like he's been at Alabama for 20 years now playing basketball. I'm glad he's back.
Yeah, I think Jordan hit the nail right on the head, man. This is going to be a super fun team. So many different shooters. You look at Josh Primo, 6'6 guard from Toronto, Huntington Prep, five-star, top 20 in this class. Really, I think he's probably the best shooter in the class of 2020. Someone who could become a lottery pick later down the line. You add Javon Quinterly this year from Villanova. Obviously didn't do what he wanted to there, but I think that was a bad match from the beginning. There was a reason he was a five-star coming out of high school. You add Keon Ellis, 6'5 guard from Florida Southwestern JUCO. He can score in bunches. He's going to provide another body and length on defense. Super athletic. I'm excited to see what he can do. You talked about John Petty. 6'5", fourth-year senior, one of the best shooters in the country and probably one of the best players in the conference. If all goes as planned, I think he'll probably be slated as a first-team All-SEC type guy, averaged 11.5 points last year. You talk about Jaden Shackford, undersized, but you'll be hard pressed to find a better player than him. All SEC freshman last year, averaged 15 a game on 35% from deep. They're just going to be a super, super fun team to watch. You know, got to watch out for obviously losing Tyler Lewis, and we'll see how Quinterly fills in for him. But this team's got a lot of shooters. They're going to be a super fun offensive team. And defensively, you look at guys like Herbert Jones, is going to be a big impact. Jordan Bruner, you know, 6'10 transfer from Yale. Really great passer, great rebounder. Averaged 10, 9, and 3 last year. Can knock down shots from deep. Huge addition, should start right away. There's a good reason to be excited for Alabama this year.
Yeah, you brought up the draft. I mean, you know, like to have picks that the program has produced for the NBA in the first round the last 2 years, that's a really good sign for Alabama. I mean, if you're trying to build up that national respect and recognition, Lewis went 13th to the Pelicans. Isn't that right, Jordan?
Yes, sir, he did.
So, I mean, like losing a guy like that, though, how is that going to impact the Crimson Tide, you know, losing their best player?
Always very, very rough when you have your best player go to the NBA, which it's great in retrospect because it really helps in recruiting, because Colin Sexton, obviously the best player on the team when he was here, and then he left and was a lottery pick, and they just kind of threw Kyra Lewis in there, a 17-year-old, should be senior in high school. And he ended up carrying the torch very well, and now he became a lottery pick himself. So it's kind of just the next man up mentality, and it's obviously really tough when you lose a guy of that caliber, but it's also more motivation for someone like Javon Quinterly or Joshua Primo that might play some point this year. That's they want to fill those shoes, and they want to be someone like that, and to be a lottery pick or to go to the NBA draft and be remembered as that. So it's a big loss, obviously, but it's pretty much addition by subtraction, because you add in recruiting, name value in the program, get a lot of recognition. But overall for this team, I'm really excited to see Javon Quinterly do, play point guard. And to go off kind of what Matthew was saying, I mean, this team's going to be very fun to watch, because in the past you've had that one point guard. You've had Sexton, you've had Relaford, you've had Kyra. This year, I mean, there could be multiple guys that could take the point. Primo and Keon Ellis and Herbert Jones play point. Kyra Lewis. I mean, it's just going to be a squad. It's going to be point guard by squad for most of the time. So the versatility that I was mentioning before. So a lot of guys are going to have to step up to fill that void, but I really feel like they have the players to do it.
This is the Open Floor Podcast. Jordan Harper, Matthew Gibson with me, Mick Gillespie. We're talking Alabama basketball. I know it's Iron Bowl week, but guys, we got the first game of the season coming up. And I mean, I think this is the best week to have the start of the season, because we're all amped up about football, but we also have Bama playing Jacksonville State on Wednesday, 7 o'clock. And that's when we get our first taste of this team before the Maui Invitational. Matthew, what do you expect on Wednesday? And then I'm going to swing it right back over to you, Jordan, with kind of a chance to add if you want to.
I think you'll see an Alabama team that's ready to go. You know, obviously with the COVID situation, it's been a little bit different, but Nate said earlier this week that they got all 30 spring practices in, which is obviously a huge advantage when you look at other teams like Ole Miss, who have been able to, you know, get those practices in. But as far as Jacksonville State, you know, the Gamecocks, they finished 13-19 in the OVC last year, which was good for 7th in the conference. They're not a very fast-paced team. I believe they were 233rd in adjusted tempo last year. If Alabama's as good as we think they are, they should be able to handle the Gamecocks pretty easily. But you know, you never know with Alabama basketball.
Yeah, I think Kim Pom has it as about a 20-22 point victory for Alabama. Kim Pom's typically pretty close to that. So I don't expect much of a contest between Alabama and Jacksonville State. Is with openers like this, to where it's not a high-profile game like a lot of these teams are playing, it's going to really stick out to me how motivated they are, how much energy they bring, and just kind of see some of the new guys, the freshmen, see how they react to their first Division I college basketball game, and to kind of see how they react, see how they play. It's the first real look for the fans to watch these guys. They didn't have a, you know, Midnight Madness or anything for them to really be able to watch. So it's going to be fun. I think Nate's going to probably roll most everybody in, and it's going to be fun to watch some of these new guys and kind of see how different this team's going to be from last year.
Yeah, it's, looking back, I mean, it really is sad that we didn't have an NCAA tournament last year, right? And it was because of COVID. And, you know, with football, it's played outside. Basketball is played inside. I saw where Florida A&M's women's basketball season was canceled because of COVID. Now, I'm not saying or hoping in any way that happens to the SEC or Alabama. But, you know, how do you guys think it's going to affect this season? You know, we're hearing that there's going to be, you know, antidotes and, you know, there's drugs that they're coming out with that are cures or preventions for COVID. But how do you think that it's going to affect, and I'll start with you, Jordan, how do you think it's going to affect this season going in? Because I feel like that's one of the biggest things that we're going to have to deal with this year is COVID.
Yeah, it was awful to see the season just pretty much taken out from under all these players. Nobody got to finish, played all season and didn't get to finish. So there's going to be a lot of motivated teams, motivated players out there. But I see COVID making a big impact overall. Just the main thing is the 14-day quarantine that you must do if somebody on the team gets the virus or tested positive. That's the big thing that's going to make a big holdup in this season, because 2 weeks is like three or four games typically. So you saw Florida have to pause theirs as well for 2 weeks, and Tennessee as well. I mean, you get into conference play, and that really ruins a lot of the conference schedule. So I know the CDC recently came out saying that it's probably going to be okay to do 10-day quarantine, like 7 to 10 day instead of 14. And if that goes through the NCAA and that they determine that's fine, then it would make it a lot easier for teams to reschedule or to bounce back from that. But I'm just praying that it's going to be kind of go off without a hitch for the most part. But I'm just holding my breath on that one.
Yeah, I think Jordan once again hit the nail on the head. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, teams get on a roll and, you know, suddenly get a case of COVID, and, you know, that gets shut down and they'll have to readjust for however that goes. It's difficult. It's going to be an adjustment for all of these teams. I'm not really sure how they'll manage it, but it's definitely something to watch out for. And, you know, I hate that it's happening like this, but hopefully, you know, they'll get the games in and Alabama will get lucky enough to not get any cases.
Yeah, and Alabama really had has a leg up over most of these teams, just because Nate Oates said that most of the players and coaches had the virus, you know, over the summer. So they're really not at risk to, you know, get the virus anymore. So it's going to really be up to the other teams that they face. So Alabama can really practice knowing that they're going to be fine and kind of just take care of their business. And hopefully other teams will, you know, follow the protocols as well.
Talking Alabama basketball, great to have you guys with us. This is Bama Insider. If you've downloaded our podcast, we're going to do this each week. So we want you to join us. We're going to talk about the Hoops team. You can download it on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so that you know when they're coming out. But a lot to talk about. Obviously, the first games against Jacksonville State, that's not really going to move the needle. But I'll tell you what will move the needle is that they're scheduled to play Stanford and Asheville, North Carolina. That's going to be fun, right? Part of the Maui Invitational. And then North Carolina, UNLV. I mean, can you imagine the Bama-North Carolina matchup? I mean, even the Running Rebels, remember they had a run there, pun intended, where they were good for a stretch. But a great chance for this team, guys, to kind of get on that big stage already. And Jordan, you know, as you follow this team, they're going to get that litmus test early to get an idea of how good they are. I mean, they could play Stanford and North Carolina two of the first three games of the season.
Non-conference tournaments are so big when it comes to March, and for their schedule, for their, you know, strength of schedule, you know, quality wins is a big one. I mean, Stanford's going to be there at the end. They have great talent, and they'll probably be one of the top teams in the Pac-12. And then obviously North Carolina speaks for itself. UNLV, I mean, that first game against Stanford is going to be big because, you know, in recent years, Alabama would play in these non-conference tournaments and they would lose the first game. And then all of a sudden they're in the loser's bracket and playing teams like Southern Miss that really could only hurt them. And they really need to get on, you know, win the first game against Stanford and possibly go play North Carolina to be able to have that quality win. And if they were to, you know, string together a couple wins in a row, that's going to be huge come March. And they got Clemson after that. And then they have a top 25 matchup potentially against Houston at home on December 19th. So, you know, Nate Oates has scheduled a pretty good non-conference schedule, you know, makeshift non-conference schedule. So there's going to be quality win opportunities, and there's going to be several available in SEC as well. So being able to capitalize on those non-conference wins is what separates a bubble team for a team that's going to be playing in the NIT tournament at the end of the season.
Matthew, when you look at the schedule, and you don't have to stick with just these first few games, what sticks out to you as like, you know what, I really want to see this. You know, it could be a battle with Kentucky or Tennessee, or it could be that potential matchup with North Carolina. But give me a couple games that when the schedule came out, you were like, okay, yeah, I wanted to see Alabama and Oklahoma. You know, maybe it's a game like Jacksonville State.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Alabama versus Tennessee on January 2nd. That's going to be a big-time game. I think Tennessee is probably, if not the best, probably the second-best team in the conference. Kentucky. That's going to be, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in Auburn. You know, Auburn obviously has the postseason ban that they self-imposed, but, you know, that's always a grudge match, and you never know what can happen in that game. Then the very next game, they play Kentucky. That's another big one. But Alabama has a lot of winnable games, I think, you know, to begin the SEC play. And if you get those down, you're setting yourself up for, you know, a big time run in the tournament, national rankings, everything that you could imagine. You know, it's going to be exciting. I think Alabama obviously has a really good team that could compete with those upper echelon SEC schools this year. I think Alabama finishes in the top four, but it's exciting.
Guys, let's give our top five, what we think that the SEC's top five is going to look like. And Matthew, you're there. I'm going to let you go first. But if you had to do your preseason prediction, top five and where Alabama's going to be. So if they're not in your top five, you got to tell me where they're going to be at.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be Kentucky, Tennessee, who probably Alabama, honestly. And then I think you look at a team like LSU or potentially Arkansas, but I think Alabama's going to have a really solid team this year. You know, they should definitely compete for an SEC title.
I was there the last time they won an SEC title, guys. Sat courtside. Ran out on the court when Petway laid that ball in against Florida. It's hard for me to believe that that's the last time Bama's won the SEC. I mean, that's crazy. And at the time, you know, growing up in Maryland as a Maryland basketball fan, I figured, well, you know, you're going to win these coming and going, you know. Then went to school at Alabama, and they won in 2002. I thought it was a lot of fun. Great. We'll see this again. It's hard for me to believe, Jordan, that that's the last time that these guys have won an SEC title. Matthew gave us his top five. What's your top five, and where you got Bama at?
So I got Tennessee number one. I think Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson is going to take them over the top and beat win the SEC, probably in the regular season and the tournament. They're just super talented. Kentucky number two. I got Florida number three and Alabama number four, with LSU and South Carolina right behind them. So I feel like Alabama will probably get that double bye in the SEC tournament and would finish obviously in the top four in the SEC. it's really top heavy out the SEC is, because I feel like Kentucky and Tennessee are two of the top 10 best, you know, top 10 teams in the country. And then you have Alabama and Florida and LSU that are going to be right there on the cusp of the top 25 most of the season. And I just feel like some of the lower teams in the SEC are just not going to be able to withstand a lot of these, you know, top-tier talented teams like Mississippi State and Ole Miss, Georgia, Vandy. They're going to get beat up a good bit. So it's going to be some pretty easy wins for a lot of these upper echelon teams, and it's going to be a battle. And I feel like in the end, Alabama's going to, you know, shoot threes on their way to finishing in the top four. So it's going to be a grind for that 3, 4, 5, 6 rankings in the SEC.
Yeah, look, I got to tell you that picking Tennessee over Kentucky is just so hard, because Kentucky is kind of like Alabama football with a basketball. You know, it's like no matter what it is, even if I like Tennessee's team a little bit better, but I just got this feeling that Kentucky mentally knows how to win these games and they know how to win these championships. So, you know, I'm going to say Kentucky and Tennessee 1 and 2. I like Ole Miss a lot, too, but I'm going to put Florida 3. And then Bama and Ole Miss kind of battling for that 4 and 5 spot, Arkansas in that mix as well. I hope that Alabama meshes. I think that's the biggest thing when you go out and you add all these new guys and you bring in the transfers and then you got a guy in the turret and then another guy goes to the NBA. How long is it going to take for Alabama's team to be ready, you know, but when they hit their stride, you know? And there's another part of this too, guys, is that sometimes you kind of want your team to gel a little bit later in the season because you don't want to peak too soon. You know, I've seen that with Alabama basketball before, you know, where they kind of hit their peak in the middle of the season and then, you know, they just sputter out at the end. What we want is, first off, we want to see a team that can compete for the SEC, maybe win the championship. The second thing, though, is make the NCAA tournament. And then once you get there, win some games, right? I mean, that's to me, Jordan, that's the goal of any Alabama fan. They want to see this team really go in. And it just feels like over the years we've had teams that come in with a lot of hype. Obviously, Nate Oates brings – I think Nate Oates, of the coaches that Alabama has had since I've been following the program, and that's been a long time, he reminds me he's got the fans as excited as Mark Godfrey did his first few years. And I think that's a big compliment, because Mark had had the program, and he did some things that a lot of other coaches would like to copy. And I feel like with Nate Oates, people are very excited about this team, but it's also you get excited and then the games come and then, you know, you're struggling against Jacksonville State. I think this game on Wednesday is going to tell us a little bit about this team. Not a whole lot about this team, but a little bit. You know, how do they play against Jacksonville State? Did they go in there and just, you know, run right through them, or is it a struggle? Are they going to have trouble scoring? You know, last year they didn't play a lot of defense. Jordan, what are you looking at as far as like anything you can gauge from this game against Jacksonville State? And, you know, since you've been covering Alabama, how do you feel about the momentum that the program has?
Momentum is as strong as I've seen in quite some time, probably since the Mark Godfrey era that you were talking about. Like he had the program going in a great direction. And I feel like Nate Oates is too, in a totally different way, because Nate Oates is going to do it by recruiting and by shooting threes. And Godfrey was just about sound basketball and had, you know, developed players very well. And speaking of what you brought up earlier about not peaking too early, I mean, Kentucky's probably the king of that. I mean, they always start out so slow, not necessarily losing ball games, but they look sluggish, mainly because they have such high turnover with freshmen going to the NBA draft and constantly just bringing in new players. But they don't peak until probably middle of the SEC schedule, and then they just take off. And that's where they make their, you know, second weekend, third weekend run into the NCAA tournament. So that's one thing that I'm going to look for, is how well this team gels together, because they haven't had a, you know, a – conventional offseason. They haven't really had time to spend with each other like a typical offseason would. So, you know, being, you know, cohesive with each other, playing in this style of offense together, defense, communication. That's one thing I want to be looking for, seeing how many mental mistakes they make, because obviously it's going to be a lot of rust in it. And just to see the improvements. Like, I was speaking to somebody the other day about, you know, people put expectations on wins and losses and then championships and making the tournament, which is all great. But when you're rebuilding, and they're in the latter stages of rebuilding right now, you just want to see steady improvement. And that's one thing that's going to be – you're going to be able to see in the Jacksonville State game is obviously they're going to shoot a lot, but let's see how they defend. Let's see how they communicate on defense. Last year, a lot of players on the other team were wide open for shots because there's not a lot of communication. So obviously it's going to be an inferior opponent that they're going to be facing, so it's a lot easier to play against those guys. But still, I mean, you're going to be able to see the cohesiveness that I mentioned before that is going to be something that's going to stick out to me. I'm very intrigued to see how they play off each other and feed off each other.
Our show is called The Open Floor, and guess what, guys? We're Bama Insiders, so that means we cover recruiting with Jordan Harper and Matthew Gibson. I'm Mick Gillespie. Alabama's basketball program with Nate Oates and, you know, even AJ before that has brought in some really good players. Matthew, give us an update right now on what Alabama's recruiting looks like. I know they just had a phenomenal signing class. Everybody's been raving about those guys and what they bring to the table. So just give us an update on that.
Yeah, so for the first time in, I believe, program history, Alabama just signed back-to-back top 10 recruiting classes, assuming this class continues to go how it's going. And what was arguably, I think, the biggest recruiting victory in all of college basketball, they won the commitment of J.D. Davidson, five-star point guard, number 3 in the country, number 13 player overall. I think he was the highest rated prospect from the state of Alabama since DeMarcus Cousins in 2009. Also the highest since Colin Sexton for Alabama in 2016. He possesses really just unlimited potential. He's got a great handle of things. He's got a developing jump shot, elite level vision. He is probably the best athlete in the class. I don't know if I've ever seen a better dunker in person. He could be one and done type guy. They also add Deshaun Holt. I believe he's number 102nd overall player in the country. He's a high-level shooter. He's got the ability to guard multiple positions using his unique athleticism. You know, as he gets stronger, he's going to be someone that could be a big addition down the road. They also add Langston Wilson, 6'9", 190-pound Georgia Highlands College JUCO transfer. I think last year as a freshman, he averaged 10 a game, 7 rebounds, I believe 2 blocks. He's really a gifted athlete. He's got significant bounce, great length. He's a high energy guy, multi-positional defender. He's a developing scorer. He shows promise in both ends of the floor. He should serve as an ideal complementary piece to his fellow 2021 signings.
That sounds good. Jordan, how did that battle go? I know Auburn was very, very hopeful that they would get Davison as well, but J.D. Davison ends up coming to Alabama, and those are players, to be quite honest with you, that Alabama has not gotten over the years. They haven't won these type of recruiting battles, so I got to give Nate Oates a ton of credit for being able to beat out Bruce Pearl and the rest of the country for this point guard. How did they do it?
Relationships. I've followed J.D. Davison since his freshman year at Calhoun. Antoine Petway has been on him for a long time. Antoine's been his guy, and J.D.'s been Antoine's guy. So getting on that early, kind of like how Avery Johnson was on Colin Sexton first, really pushed them over the top. J.D. Davison grew up an Alabama fan, and obviously – loves Alabama, so that helped a lot. But once the big guys come calling, all bets are off. I know Duke was thinking about getting involved, Kentucky, but in the end, it was always going to be, you know, either Alabama or Auburn, and Memphis was in there pretty good as well. So Alabama really won that because they had the best relationship with JD. I know his family wanted to stay close to home to watch him, which could have been Alabama or Auburn, but just in the end, Antoine Petway just having the consistency of, you know, being that guy that JD would come talk to on a consistent basis. So I know I've seen him since, like I said, his freshman year. And I knew once I saw him live that he was going to be arguably the top player in not only the state, but in the country as well. And he developed, and I mean, it paid off for him, and it paid off for Antoine as well to grab him and bring him to play in Crimson and White. So it ultimately came down to Alabama and Auburn, but I feel like Alabama won this battle a long time ago, and Auburn was just too late to the party to be able to snatch him away.
I hope it's a sign of things to come. But I'll tell you what, Nate Oates, you talk about going out and making an impact. That's the kind of impact right there that will lead to Alabama being able to contend with the likes of Kentucky and Tennessee and be a top 10 team. And you get players like that. And if he's as good as they're saying he is, and having lottery picks the last 2 years helps Alabama an awful lot. All right, if you guys want to follow Jordan Harper, you can do it on Twitter, HarperNation24. That's at HarperNation24. If you want to follow Matthew Gibson, you can do that at MGibson1301. I'm at Broadcaster Mick. We appreciate you guys joining us for the open floor. This has been a lot of fun, guys. I can't wait to get back with you next week just to talk about what happened. I mean, like, I'm excited about seeing how this team's going to play, and we're going to get to check that out on Wednesday. Thanks for doing the show. Again, thanks to Jordan and Matthew. I'm Mick Gillespie. Subscribe to our channel, whether you download it on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate you guys a lot. Subscribe to the Bama Insider channel. Give us a 5-star rating, or give us a chance at least to earn that 5-star rating, because throughout basketball season, you're going to hear from us as we talk about the basketball team. And I've been following Alabama basketball as a fan for a long time. I worked for the Crimson Tide Sports Network, broadcast games on the SEC network as well for Alabama and the games that they've been involved in. I don't remember a time, guys, where there's been this much excitement and then the players to back it up and the coaching to back it up. So it's going to be an awesome season. Thanks for catching our podcast, and we'll do it again next week.